Good evening, church. Today is midweek service, and it's good to be continuing in the lockdown personally for me. And yeah, it was also good to hear the missionaries, right, last Sunday from Vizag and from Coimbatore, and just to hear from them also builds us up. And last Sunday was also Mother's Day, and I have a short portion to remember the importance of mothers and what the scriptures also say about them. And before that, in a believer is given three callings by God. In Philippians chapter 3 verse 14, Paul talks about a high calling from God. In Hebrews chapter 3 verse 1, we have a heavenly calling given by God. And in 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 9, God says we have a holy calling. And I want to think about this with regards to mothers, with regards to moms. God has given them a very high calling, and that is to raise children up in the faith. And it is a very high calling. And before we move into the message, let's pray. Father, we come before you. I ask you that you will help me to share this portion. I need help. I pray that you will bless this portion to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. So for the scripture portion, let's turn to Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. And this is a small portion of 8 verses. And this is a portion about the Gentile woman, the Canaanite woman. And we know that this Canaanite woman was also a mother. And she was in a very interesting phase in her life where she gets to know that her daughter is tormented by demons, right? She is, the daughter is demon possessed, and here is a mom who is in a helpless situation, and she finds God in this helpless situation. Right, so let's read verse 21, Matthew 15, verse 21. It says, "Then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon." Verse 22, "And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, 'Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed.'" Right, so when we look at the geography of that land, and we know Jesus was there in Israel during that time, but his fame went out to the neighboring nations, neighboring lands. So everybody came to know, or they would know, that there is this Jesus in Israel who is like endowed with gifts from above, and he is like preaching the word of God. He is teaching many people. He is healing the blind. He is raising the dead to life. So there are many things about Jesus which is being spoken to the people all around. And I believe that it was a similar case where this woman would have come to know, this mother would have come in contact with this information about Jesus Christ. Right? And we say that, we see in that verse, if you read verse 22, it says that this woman came. She came from a Gentile region. She was not a Jewish woman. She was from a Gentile nation, and she came to Jesus Christ. Very interesting to note that this woman did not resign herself. This mother did not call it quits, or she did not give up on the situation, but this mother came to where Jesus was, right? And if you read verse 23, it says in the beginning of that verse that Jesus did not answer her a word. Verse 23, Jesus did not answer her a word. And we could think, why did Jesus not answer her a word? And the answer, I think, is in verse 22, because in verse 22, this Gentile woman calls out to Jesus Christ as Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. It is very foreign to Jesus's ears also for a Gentile woman to call out his name as the Son of David, because the Commonwealth of Israel was not receiving his teachings. But here is a Gentile woman who is calling out, and who is calling out to Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And I thought that could be a good reason why he did not say a word, because he was like moved in his spirit when he heard the Gentile woman call out like that. And we also see a very interesting situation where the disciples, they came and urged Jesus Christ, saying, send this woman away, for she cries out after us. I gave the disciples a name, and the name for the disciples is Chase Masters. And we see how the disciples used to chase away people when they came to meet Jesus Christ. One good example is when the little children wanted to meet Jesus. You know, when Jesus was on his trips and these little children wanted to meet him. Again, these disciples who were with Jesus, who know everything about Jesus, but, you know, they are still prejudiced in their mindset about how Jesus should respond to this situation. And so the chase masters tried to chase this mother away. Yeah, and then because she was crying out. And in verse 24, now Jesus responds to her. And this, I think, was a test of faith statement made to this woman. Right? And he tells her that I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And verse 25, I like this verse, verse 25. Then she came and she worshipped. She knelt down, she bowed to him. And I like what is written here. And I want you also to mark those words in your Bible. You know what it says? Lord, please help me. So here is a cry of a mother, and she is crying out to Jesus, Lord, help me. Right? And isn't that so true? That's the cry of the world today, especially in this lockdown scenario. There is a cry of people, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. The migrant workers are crying out, Lord, help me. So much of displacement all over our country. Lord, help me. Isn't that a cry of a man who's leading a family? He's crying out, Lord, help me. Isn't that a cry of a widowed a mom? Lord, help me. Isn't that a cry of a person who wants to answer the call of God, Lord, help me? Or isn't that a call of a person who wants to be saved, Lord, please help me? Or isn't that the call of a believer also who's struggling with sin, Lord, please help me? Yeah, it's a great thing to think about that piece of that verse, Lord, please help me. Lord, please help me. And as the event progresses, verse 26, Jesus answered, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. Who are these little dogs? Right? Little dogs are puppies, right? They are just like pets of no much use. You can just look at them and then, yeah, it's of no much value because they are just like pets. And this is what in 27 the woman, the mother says, Lord, even the little dogs, even these little puppies like who we are, the Gentiles, eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. There's a good word there, you know. If you just plainly read that, you could not know why was Jesus moved just by what this woman or this mother is saying. But actually, she's saying a very deep thing. She makes a mention of the master's table in verse 27. And the master's table, Jesus tells us about a parable in Matthew 22 about a king who arranges a wedding for a son. And there is a big banqueting table which is actually laid. And there are many people who are on the invitee list, but they don't show up. Each gives a reason and they don't show up to this invitation. But we know in Matthew 22 what happens, that the master of the house, the king, is very angry with what has happened. And then he says, okay, the food is ready, the table is set, go to the highways, go to the byways, call all of them and come. Let us participate. Let us participate on this banqueting table. This table is ready. And the master's table, you know, it signifies many things. It talks about great food. It talks about fellowship. It talks about communion. It talks about gathering. It talks about joy. It talks about having gladness in our hearts. And that is why Jesus came. And this mother got the point that though she is a Gentile, but she is not an outcast, Jesus Christ came even for the Gentiles because the Jews are rejecting him. But here, these Gentiles are seeking him. She's a mother and she prayed, Lord, help me. And when this mother prayed that, Lord, help me prayer, and we all know what happened, right? Jesus commends her faith in verse 28. Then Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is your faith. But I want to use that word mother here. I want to say, O mother of this demon-possessed daughter, great is your faith. Let it be done to you as you desire. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Right, so the woman understood that she is included in this great plan of salvation which God has for the whole world. She knew that she belongs to this grand table, to the master's table, to the banqueting table. She got to know that, right? And she also got to know that she's got a wedding garment on, and that is the robe of righteousness. She can partake of it because she came to that wedding because of Jesus Christ, because of putting her faith in him. And in closing, thank God for moms. Thank God for the high calling which God has given to mothers to raise the next generation up. So even as we think about them, let's pray for God to anoint the mothers in our church, the mothers in our families, the mothers, our wives who are mothers, mothers to be, single mothers, mothers all around. We pray that God will really anoint them, equip them for this high calling which God has put on them. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much. Thank you for the scriptures, Lord, which tells us how you really ministered to people who were in trouble. And we see in this passage of scripture how this woman who was a mother had a daughter. Don't know what happened to her husband, but she was in a helpless situation and she cries out. She cries out, Lord, please help me. And really, Lord, you are that personal God to us. I pray that you bless all our mothers. Be their present help at this time and in the times to come for the high calling that you have put on them to raise the children up in the faith. I thank you, praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Wednesday evening service. It's good to be with you online. And we're almost there now, with hopefully the lockdown lifting up. And I hope you're doing well and are in good health and doing well spiritually also. And for this evening's service, let's turn to John chapter 15 and verses 1 to 11. John 15, verses 1 to 11. Verse 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burnt. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this evening. We pray, Lord, as we look into your word, that you would speak in a fresh manner to each one of us. You would give us understanding. You would give us illumination. You would convict us, Lord, in those areas of our lives which need to be convicted of, and you would minister to us, and you would lead us in truth, you would lead us in the paths of righteousness for your name's sake. Help us, Lord, speak to our hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I have been thinking about this theme for some time now. And the theme that I'd like to speak about is the inner life, a personal relationship with the living God, the inner life, a personal relationship with the living God. There is physical life and there is spiritual life. And one of the things we saw in the lockdown, or one of the terms we heard in the lockdown, was this term called essentials, like food, water, clothing, etc. And in the same way, the believer also has a physical life, but he also has a spiritual life, which is an inner life, and that life is with God. And when you look at John chapter 15, John chapter 15 is the last teaching which Jesus does before going to the cross. And you have to read it from John chapter 13 to John chapter 16. It is the last discourse. And if you look at John chapter 15, we can divide it into three segments. John chapter 15, verses 1 to 11, speaks about God and me. And John chapter 15, verses 12 to 17, speaks about me and the body of Christ. And John chapter 15, verse 18 to verse 27, speaks about me and the world. And Jesus is talking about these three themes in a very systematic way. But firstly, he talks about God and me in chapter 15, verses 1 to 11. And that is very important, and that is very significant, because our personal relationship with God is the foundation or the basis for everything else. It is the basis of our relationships in the body of Christ. It is a basis also for how we respond to the world and how we minister to the world. So it is the basis, and that is why it is so fundamentally important. And this is known as the great, you know, abiding chapter, or the wine chapter, as in V-I-N-E. So in John chapter 15, in verse 1 and 2, he says this: I am the true vine, and my Father is the wine dresser or husbandman. Every branch in me. Now that is so beautiful. So this is what Jesus is saying to his disciples: I am the true vine. And we can compare that he is the true God, and the true vine can be compared to all other false gods. So any other god, small g, is a false god. And Jesus is saying, I am the true vine. And here he is, this whole chapter, verses chapter 15, verse 1 to 11, is a comparison between the grape plant or the vine and the branches and the grapes. So that is the analogy he is using. And he's saying, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Then he says, in verse 2, he says, every branch in me. Now, this is so beautiful, because that talks about grace. Right? Every branch in me. We are in the vine, or we are a part of the plant, not by any works that we have done. That's what Pastor Benny shared in the last Sunday's message. We are saved by grace. So it is, we are in him, or in him, totally by grace. And that is such a beautiful thought, where he's saying, every branch in me. And then in verse 2 he says, he is making a declaration in verse 2, every branch in me that does not bear fruit he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. So he is saying, the Lord is saying, that there are two kinds of branches in the vine. One which does not bear fruit, and one which bears fruit. Now the one which does not bear fruit, the Father, who is the gardener, he takes it away. This is not talking about loss of salvation. This is just talking about that there is no fruit in that branch. But every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. And this is talking about that when we are bearing fruit and when we are close to the Lord, that sometimes things become more harder, things become more difficult. The heat goes up spiritually. And that is actually a good thing, because God is using pruning. A pruning is a process where you cut off some leaves and some twigs for the future better growth of the plant. And what is the purpose? That it may bear more fruit. So I am bearing fruit, but Jesus desires that I will bear more fruit. Now in verse 3 we see, he says, "You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you." And this is such a beautiful verse, because it talks about this aspect that all his disciples that he was talking to you. Now we must keep in mind that he is talking to 11 disciples here. In John 13, Judas has exited. So he is talking to all the 11 disciples who are true believers. And he is saying, "You are already clean." And that talks about positional peace. Now this is such a beautiful verse. You are already clean. And Romans 5:1 says, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." This talks about imputed righteousness. How am I clean? Based upon what the Lord Jesus did on the cross, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. In Romans 3:24, God imputed the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ on me as a gift, and my sins were forgiven, and I was washed in his blood, and I am already clean before him. And that talks about positional peace. And I was just thinking about this today, that you and I, we can be so at ease, we can be so relaxed, because in our position before God the Father, we can never be enemies anymore, because Jesus achieved that positional peace for us. And through justification, we have that with God the Father all the days of our life. Positional peace, which means God can never become my enemy. God can discipline me, but he can never become my enemy, because I have become his son. And I have been justified by faith. And I have this position, which is forever. I have peace with God, which is a position forever. Now in verse 4, the Lord states the principle, and this is the principle of the vine and the branches. "Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me." Now, this is a very simple truth in verse 4, but it is actually a very profound truth. What is the simplicity of the truth? The simplicity of the truth is, we all know that the branch receives the life from the vine. The branch does not make the life of itself. It receives it from the root or from the vine. And this is what the Lord is saying. "Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me." And this is the truth, the profound truth, which we must accept, that none of us are in a place where we can produce this fruit or this life of God in us through our own selves or through our own energy or through our own works or through our own merit. It is simply received from God. It is simply received from God. So this is the principle. The Lord is saying, "Abide in me and I in you." That's the principle. That means this is talking about the personal relationship. This is talking about the inner life. Now, one of the things you will notice a lot as we have read from verse 1 to verse 11 is the word "abide." And what is the meaning of this word abide? Now it appears 11 times in this passage, and it appears in verse 4, it appears 3 times, then it's there in verse 5, verse 6, in verse 7, 2 times, in verse 9, the King James uses the word continue, it's the same word, abide, in verse 10, 2 times, and in verse 11, the word remain is the same word, and it is the Greek word meno, M-E-N-O. And what does it mean? It means to stay, to stay. Now, one of the things you would have heard a lot during the lockdown is stay home and stay safe. Have you heard this motto a lot? What is Jesus saying here? Jesus is not saying stay home, stay safe. He's saying stay with me forever, or stay in me forever. Come, stay with me. Come to my house, stay with me, and stay with me forever. That's the meaning, to stay in a place, to remain in a place, to abide in a place. That's the meaning. And we see here, he says in verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Now here in verse 5 we see Jesus is drawing attention to himself. I am the vine. I. So Jesus is the source of eternal life as well as all abundant life in John 10 verse 10. And then he's saying, without me you can do nothing. And this is a very important verse, because in verse 5, he who abides in me and I in him, this is what it is saying. It is the present active participle. And it means he who continuously stays in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. Now this is the secret. That is why it is a profound verse. This is the secret of our Christian life. What is the secret of our Christian life? The secret of our Christian life is you and I, we have a source. That source is invisible. That source is inexhaustible. And that source is eternal. And that source is a person, and he is the Lord Jesus Christ. So, when I abide in him and he abides in me, what happens? I'm able to bear much fruit. So basically, you and I, we are receivers in the Christian life. At salvation, we receive this gift, which was given to us once and for all. And every day of our life, we are receiving grace from the Lord for this abundant life and eternal life and his life to be manifested in us and through us. So the moment we don't receive is the moment we don't have it. Like in Exodus 16, when they did not step out of the tent to receive the manna was there, but they didn't have it for that day. In the same way, we need to be constantly receiving. And how does that happen? By you and I abiding in him constantly. And what is the result of it? We bear much fruit. Now in verse 6 it says here, if anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and they throw them into the fire and they are burnt. Now verse 6 gives the explanation for verse 2, where it says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit. Now why is the branch not bearing fruit? Because it is not abiding in Jesus Christ. You know, when you and I, we are not abiding in the Lord, what happens? We become like a withered branch. We become dry. There is no life in us. And men cast them into the fire. Like branches which are dead, which are broken off, people take it and throw it into the fire and they are burnt. This is not talking about loss of eternal life. This is talking about being unfruitful to God. being of no use to God. It doesn't mean that God doesn't love us because we are eternally secure. Now, here it says, if anyone does not abide in me. Now, this is important. The if is a conditional clause. This talks about the whole aspect of free will. You and I, we have a choice. We have a choice to abide in Jesus, or we have a choice not to abide in Jesus. And what are the reasons why we do not abide on a daily basis? And I was looking at two main reasons. One is a positive reason and one is a negative reason. The positive reason is this. Maybe there is prosperity in my life, or maybe there is I have a great job, or I'm in a great relationship, or I have great blessings. And that stops me, or my heart has gotten into those things, and that stops me from abiding in Christ. And that example is there with the nation of Israel in the Old Testament. Or there are negative reasons. For example, I have failed God, like Peter. Or I have been disappointed with God. Or I am discouraged. Or I have some bitterness in my heart because of certain things which God did not do. I am hurt. Maybe I got hurt in the body of Christ. Maybe I have bad health or bad relationships. And therefore, I do not desire to abide in Him. And what is the Bible saying? What is the outlook? I become withered. Now, this is very important for us to understand. I've said this illustration before. When we were in Goa, we had an old OHP overhead projector where you put a slide and it projects. And one day it stopped working. And we opened it up and we did everything and we couldn't fix it. Change the bulb, we couldn't fix it. So I took the OHP and the cord in my car to a faraway place. And that was the only place which would service and repair this overhead projector. He checked the overhead projector. And then he did one thing. He changed something and the projector came on. And then I said, what was the problem? He said this beautiful thing. There's no problem with the projector. There was a problem with the cable. Your cable has been disconnected. It is broken inside. You can't see it from outside. I just put a new cable and it's working. So this is just an illustration that sometimes we may look completely whole on the outside. Hi, how are you? You know, the physical life is just happening. We're doing okay. But we are withered inside. Why? Because there's an internal disconnect. There's an internal disconnect. And so when the situations of life happen, there's a tendency in us to get angry. There's a tendency in us to snap or to have unedifying lips or to say some unedifying things or maybe just have a bad attitude. Where is that coming from? That is coming from this because I am not abiding in the vine. Then in verse 7, it goes on to say, if you abide in me and my words, the word words here is in the Greek, the word rhema. And it's talking about the specific mind of God about any subject or a specific thing which God tells you, like how God told, the angel of the Lord told Mary that you will be pregnant, right? It's a specific thing. So if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Now it's talking about this access in prayer. You know, when we are connected to the Lord, when we are abiding in Him on a daily basis, one of the beautiful things which happens to us is prayer. Like we start praying to God, we start talking to Him, praising Him, worshiping Him. And what happens? When we start praying to God, He answers our prayer. Right? And that is the much fruit in verse 8. Answered prayer. Answered prayer. So it starts from bearing fruit. He's pruning us to bear more fruit. And now in verse 8 is what? Through answered prayer we are getting what? Much fruit. Much fruit. And This is so beautiful. Now, we have positional peace with God, but experiential peace in Philippians chapter 4, what can we do? We can just, tell God our anxieties, whatever our troubles, we can put it before God. And what does the Bible say? The peace of God which passes all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. How is this happening? Through this personal relationship. Through this. So we don't have to have anxiety about the future. We don't have to worry. Why? Because we have this access in prayer. So we not only have positional peace, but now we can also have experiential peace. Verse 9. As the Father loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. This is such a beautiful verse. Now it talks about the love of God. As the Father loved me. How did the Father love Jesus? The Father loved Jesus totally, completely, in an unconditional way, in an agape way. Jesus also loves us that way, totally, unconditionally. And what is he asking us? Abide in my love. Abide or continue in my love. And this is really important for us, that when we are connected to the Lord, that we will also experience his love and we will also live in his love, which is unconditional towards us. And then he says in verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. And this talks about obedience. You know, it's a very simple, objective way where we can look at ourselves or where we can look at others. How do we know that somebody loves God? It's very simple. When an individual believer obeys the word of God, obeys the commandments of God, it's a very simple thing. Then it is very clear that he loves God. That's what it is also said in John 14, verse 21. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. In verse 23, Jesus answered and said, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. You know, sometimes as believers, we can make tall claims to God, like Peter. Like Peter says, Lord, I will go to jail. I'm willing to die for you. But never mean it or never keep it. But here the Bible is saying it's not about people who make claims that they love God, but the claim is shown through their obedience to the commandments of God, right? The obedience to the word of God. And when we obey his word, what happens? We abide in his love. We abide in his love. And then he says in verse 11, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. So Jesus is saying, all these things I have said, all these truths, and the result of that, what will happen is, my joy will remain in you. And not only remain in you, but your joy will be, what? Full. And then in verse 12, he says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. So it's very important for us to understand that the basis of the Christian life or the foundation of the Christian life is a personal relationship with the living God. And it is all based upon this inner life that we have with God. Right? And this inner life is based upon the choices that I made on a daily basis, whether I'm connected to the Lord or not, whether I'm reading his word, whether I'm fellowshipping with him, I'm praying to him, I'm thinking about his word or not. It's a decision we make. And as we make that decision, what does the Bible say? The first three fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace. This is all there in this relationship, right? The love of God is there in verse 9. The joy of God is there in verse 11, and the peace of God is there in verse 3, positionally and also experientially in prayer in verse 7. And so in this relationship, personal relationship, we have everything And we can be totally satisfied. And this inner life cannot be touched by anything external. It cannot be touched by the COVID virus. It cannot be touched by the lockdown, by the loss of a job, by bad health or bad relationships or unfortunate situations or by war. It cannot be touched. Because this is something which is established based upon what Jesus has done on the cross. The only thing which touches us, touches this relationship, is experiential sin. When we sin, the fellowship is broken and we need to confess immediately and we are back in fellowship with God. Otherwise, nothing can touch this union, this relationship with God. And so it is so important for us to be in touch, to be connected, to abide in the Lord and always be at a place where we are receiving from Him. Now, this is important today that sometimes as Christians, we live a derived vertical. Sometimes a congregation follows God if their pastor is following God very actively and so on and so forth. Or a wife may follow God if her husband is following God. Or children may follow God if the parents are following God. But when you read John chapter 15, it is not talking about living a derived vertical. It is talking about a personal vertical, right? In John 21, Peter asked Jesus, what about him? Jesus said, you don't worry about John. He told Peter, you follow me. And that is why this is important, because the Christian life is first a personal relationship with the living God. It's a direct relationship where we are receiving directly from him. And it is doing something in our hearts, and then it is manifesting in us, through our countenance, through our eyes, through our what we speak, through how we think, through what we want to hear. It manifests this life. So in conclusion today, our source, who is the Lord Jesus Christ, is invisible, he is inexhaustible, and he is eternal. And what we need to do at all times is we need to be connected to the source. Now, there are some verses in Jeremiah 2:13. This is what it says. This is what God said of Israel. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewn themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. So when we forsake the Lord, we are forsaking the fountain of living waters, right? A similar passage is there in John chapter 4, where Jesus told the Samaritan woman. Those are beautiful verses, verse 13 and 14. Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst, but the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. There, here the difference is made between physical water and spiritual water, right? Right? And then we have in Jeremiah 17, verses 5 to 8, where it says in verse 5, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. For he shall be like a shrub in the desert and shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land which is not inhabited. This is like the withered branch of verse 6. But verse 7 says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and his hope is in the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its root by the river and will not fear when heat comes, but its leaf will be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. So this is what happens when we put our trust in him, when we abide in him. And that similar principle is also there in Psalm chapter 1, verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. So in conclusion today, the answer to our lives, the secret to our life, is not outside. It is not in human relationships or in favorable circumstances. It is upward. It is in God himself. And it is very important, and it is very, very right. And the right thing to do is to abide in the Lord, abide in him. Just see the amount of times it says abide. Jesus said, just stay with me, stay in me, and you will receive. And when you will receive, you will be able to enjoy it. You will have something, and then you will be able to manifest it. And then the last verse in John 15, we see, he says, in John 15:16, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you, that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. Now it's talking about a fruit which remains. You have bearing fruit in verse 2. You have more fruit in verse 2. Then you have much fruit in verse 8. And then in verse 16, you have a fruit that remains. And we could say in an application that when you share the gospel with somebody and they believe in Jesus, then they have eternal life forever. It is a fruit that remains as an application. So let's be encouraged today that this principle continues. It was there before the lockdown. It is continues in the lockdown, and it will continue even after the lockdown. This is a constant principle of abiding in him. And let us constantly abide. Even if nothing is happening on the outside, no fruit on the outside is okay. Just abide. Just abide. The fruit will come in its time. Just enjoy the relationship with the Lord. Just receive from him. Let him love you. Let him give you his peace. Let him give you his joy. Let him satisfy you. And the fruit will come in its due season. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this evening. Thank you for speaking to our hearts today, Lord. Help us to understand this simple yet profound truth, that without you we are nothing, Lord. Yes. To depend on you at all times, to trust in you, to live by faith. Yes, to look to you, to receive from you, Lord. Yes. To be loved by you, to have your joy, to have your peace. Yes, Lord. To be satisfied by you. To hear you speak gracious words unto us. Yes, to hear you say, this is the way, walk ye in it. Yes, thank you, Lord. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for your grace. Bless us, Father. Bless our week. Yes. And bless our nation, Father. And help our Prime Minister with the decisions so that we can get back to normalcy, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.